very well with the text for our message today, which is from Joshua chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you instructed your disciples to do things in remembrance of you, Lord, you want our memories to not just be about facts, to not just be about words, but to be living and active just like your word. So when we say we remember something, we not only remember it as something that happened in the past, but it lives on in the present and it affects how we view the future. And Lord, we thank you for the examples in Scripture of where you have impressed upon us the importance of memories. So Lord, bless the word that we hear today. May we understand the importance of our confession of your truth and what it means to live that out. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Context. It's always important when you read something from Scripture to understand the context, to understand the background, to understand where this is coming in the story. And so when we look at Joshua chapter 4, it's really important to understand the story up to this point. If you remember the story, it starts off at the beginning of Joshua with Moses' transition from leading the people through the 40 years in the desert, where all the people who did not listen to the spies that came back from the two faithful spies, Joshua and Caleb, who did not listen to the fact that they could have victory over the giants, remember the story, and who basically out of fear did not want to go across the Jordan, and so they perished in the desert, right? Even though they had seen the power of God bringing them through the Red Sea, even though they had seen the power of God rescuing them from Pharaoh, even though they had seen the power of God to provide water in the desert, provide manna and quail, even though they had experienced over and over and over and over and over and over, I'm making my point, again, the power of God to provide, to sustain them, they still chose out of fear not to receive what they were supposed to be given, a land flowing with milk and honey, right? And they chose to die in the desert. Now, at the beginning of Joshua, we see the transition from Moses to Joshua. We see Joshua being told by God that he will start to be exalted so that they will understand that he is the one to take over from Moses, that he is the one who God will use powerfully to bring the people into the promised land. And we see the transition happening when he asks him to declare or to confess. And he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We've heard this before, right? And so here they are on the other side of the Jordan, ready to go into the promised land. And they've sent spies to Rahab, remember? They sent spies into Jericho. They know that they're going to go in. And Rahab's confession, if you get a chance, we don't have time today, but if you get a chance, read Rahab's confession. It's in, if you want to know the exact reference, it's in Joshua chapter 2. And it starts at verse 9. And just read it sometime. Because if you want to talk about the importance of the power of remembering what God has done, how it can affect people, she says, "We live in fear, Because we know what the Lord did in bringing you across the Red Sea. We know that this land has been promised to you. We live in fear. I mean, it's a pretty powerful confession. I used it one time as a teaching series because it is a powerful confession of someone who understands what it means to remember what God has done. So anyways, you see, they send spies to Rahab. They tell her that you know, our lives for your life, and they say that she'll rescue her family, and you know, it has a significant part to do with even the New Testament, so it's important. And then they get to the Jordan River, and before they go to the Jordan River, this is what the Lord says to them. He says, purify, this is in chapter 3, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Isn't that an awesome word? Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And they get ready. They prepare the Ark of the Covenant. Even though it's harvest season and the Jordan River is overflowing its banks, it's at its highest point. As soon as the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, his symbol of his presence in the midst of his people, as soon as the guys that are carrying it touch the Jordan River, what happens? Just like the Red Sea, it just stops flowing, right? No water. And they walk across, and where do they stop? This is important. This is significant. In the middle of the Jordan. Why is that significant? Anybody got any ideas? Okay. Sure. It would be the middle, so yeah. What else? Where's the most dangerous place to be? In the middle, right? If this is just a fluke, you know, I always love historical critical people who read, you know, the Bible and try to say, well, it was just an accident, you know. A big boulder just kind of rolled into the Jordan River, you know, north of this, and just stopped the water from flowing into the Dead Sea. Yeah, right. It just happened at that particular time, right? So if it really was something, you know, fluke like that, which I don't believe, of course. I hope you got that from my sarcasm. You know, I don't believe it. But if they say, well, that's what happened, I mean, God can use whatever he wants, right? He created everything, that's what we confess. But I just think it's kind of funny because, you know, if that's true, well, then they go, well, you know, where would the most dangerous place be if those things gave way and the water started coming? It's going to be right in the middle. And it's significant because, you know, they don't just go right over and say, okay, I'll come, right? That's not what happens. They stop in the middle and everybody goes around them. And isn't that the way, I just love that picture because in my mind, that is exactly what God does in my life. He doesn't, you know, walk through it and say, y'all come. Where is God when we're going through trials? Yeah, where do you say, wherever two or more of my people are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Where does God come in the midst of our trials? Does he stand over here and say, when you're done, come and see me? No. He is there in the midst of these things. That's his promise to us. That's the God we serve. He's there with us. He's there carrying us. He is in the midst of it. And so I think it's significant that they stopped in the middle. And not only did they stop in the middle, but at the end, it says that they got over in one day. This is significant. That's the first verse you read there. They got over in one day, the whole group of them. That's a huge accomplishment, okay? The Bible, by what it says here, is that they basically, because at the beginning of chapter 4, it says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, means that they were over in a day. And so they cross the Jordan, all their stuff, they get on the other side of the Jordan, and then God does this, and I think it's kind of funny because, you know, for those of you who like to plan in advance, I got something to tell you. God doesn't always plan in advance. He knows in advance, but he didn't tell Joshua before. He tells them once they get over there. Can you just see this? He says, by the way, pick one person from each tribe and tell them to pick up one of the rocks or the stones where? Right where the Ark of the Covenant stood. Right where God was in the midst of his people when they crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. Right in the middle of it. Not to the right, not to the left, not in front or behind. Right where the priests stood. Go get those rocks, those stones, and bring them to your camp. That's why we, you know, every community has a monument, right? That was awesome pictures, by the way, Paul. Thank you. Every community has a monument, right? Stones, something they put up that has a sense of permanence, that may list people that have served, right? When I was growing up, I always loved to go to different communities and see the kind of, we call them cenotaphs, to see the kind of things that people put up. You know, what? Because every community wanted out in on the prairies, every community wanted to outdo the other community. I don't suppose you had that in Michigan, right? One wanted, you know, if they built one, then they had to build a bigger one. And if this was that high, then this one had to be higher, you know? No, you didn't have that kind of competition going on? Probably a good thing, otherwise we'd have these huge things. But it's, you know, it comes from our desire, and it comes from God's desire that we have memories. And we're one of the unique, that's a unique gift that we have as human beings. We have memories. And memories are not just to be about ideas. You know, one of the things, I just really didn't like history in school. Any of you have that problem with history in grade school? Any of you? Yeah? Because it was all about dates. You remember that? And I don't know. I had trouble with math, so numbers were not an easy thing for me. And dates just made me tired. And it was dead. You know what I mean? It just didn't have, there was no history. And when I went to university, I had to decide on a major. And it was interesting because I'd gone through Bible school and I'd been taught history that was alive. History that was not just about the past, not just something dry, just not, well, yeah, you know, Christopher Columbus came over and sailed the ocean blue in 1482, right? Did I get that right? 92? See, that's what I mean. That's why I never did very good in grade school. That's why I don't teach dates. 1492? Okay, good. I went to Bible school and I had a professor in Old Testament who was so excited about the fact he learned from Messianic Jews the importance that history is not just for the people in the past, but history is today. And history is what we live tomorrow. And it's not just dead. It's not just past. It's not just a date in the past, but it's alive. And you get that sense when you read the Bible that when it talks about the Word of God being alive, that it's not just something that's in the past. It's not just something that, you know, is just a figure or a date. And I all of a sudden I said, well, I want to take history in university. And I was amazed because the more I learned, the more significant it became. And the more I thought, you know, history repeats itself. If we don't learn from history, we're destined to repeat it, right? And I just thought to myself, what a wonderful story these memorial stones is. When we go to Memorial Day and we honor those people who have served in the past, who are willing to give their lives for us, for our freedom, remember those people that are willing to give it all for us, that it's not just something dead. It's not just something that you remember. It's not just something of the past. But that it lives on, and it's in the present. And it's something that we honor into the future. And I guess for me, when I hear this story about God telling them to pick up these 12 stones, and what does he say? What does Joshua say they're going to do with these stones? Well, first of all, they're to bring them into camp. He says, so Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan and the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that on this Memorial Day, when we celebrate the parade and go to the service and see all the things that we do, see the decorations, that we really think about what it meant for people to be willing to give it all for us. And as Christians, shouldn't it have more significance to us? Because I thought that was a great tie-in. I mean, Jesus said, no man has greater love than this, that he give up his life for his friends. And we know that Jesus gave up his life for us. When we do things in remembrance of him, when we celebrate the sacrament, it's a reminder to us that we serve a God who's alive and well, and he's just not a God of the past. He's not just God of the future, but he's a God of the present, but also a God of the future. Isn't that awesome? And that's why on Holy Trinity Sunday, we take out this long creed that just makes everybody go, oh. And we confess it because we know that it's not just words. There's phrases in there that are really significant, because if they were taken seriously, if people recognized what happened to bring that creed into existence, and that it means, I believe, this is what we believe, if they recognize those things that are in there, and I'll kind of highlight a few of them, but if we really understood what they are, we would not have the heresies that we have in our society today. The Christian church would not be so segregated. The Christian church would not be divided. If we actually believed that this was true, that it wasn't just words, and we lived it out and we applied it, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? Because I believe people, not only, there's three things I believe that we talk about here. The first one is, I want everybody to know that we belong. And I will never stop this drum. It's a drum beat that is so important. There are people all over this country, all over this world, that need to know that we belong to God. That Jesus died for us, that he rose again for us, that he shed his blood for us, and that he has a place for us. We belong, period. But the importance of knowing that we belong is that, just like they said here, what did he say? He said, so when your children ask you, what are these stones doing here? Isn't that what Joshua said? Isn't that his expectation? What is Joshua's expectation? That they're going to teach their children why those stones are there. Because it's part of who they are. It's part of what they belong to. It's part of their history. It's part of who they are. And they're going to be able to say, that was when you went through, when you went through on the Jordan's dry ground. Just like when you went through the Red Sea on dry ground. It's time for us as God's people to know that we belong. But the next thing we got to do, and this is what this is the transition, is not only we know what we belong, but then what we believe. Because in order for us to become who God wants us to become, we got to know what we believe. Because there's nothing worse out there today for people, I think, is that when they understand that Jesus died for them, that he is the Lord of the church, it doesn't matter what church, if he's the Lord of the church, then you're going to find him there, and you're going to experience him there. But there's nothing worse for people to experience him and know that they belong, and then go into a church where they start to find out that they believe things that are contrary to God's word. And this happens. That's why the Athanasian Creed is so important. They go into a church that says, well, Jesus wasn't actually born of a virgin. And they go, sorry? Or they go into a church that says, well, you know, you can kill babies. Say what? And this is happening. People are hearing about Jesus. They're experiencing Jesus. People are sharing their faith with people. And then they go into a church and they get excited because they feel like they belong. And all of a sudden they find out that the church believes stuff that's inconsistent with the Word of God. And then they go, well, what does this mean? And I love this passage from Joshua because isn't that exactly what he says the kids are going to ask? I mean, isn't that human nature? Good Lutheran thing. What does this mean? If I could have a dime for every time I said that in confirmation, I'd be a rich man. So what do these stones mean? What do these things mean? And it's so important that we know what we believe, teach, and confess, because we have got to be able to explain. And it's got to be consistent with the Word of God. I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but do you understand what I'm saying? That is why the Athanasian Creed to me is not as boring as it looks. Because it's consistent. And then the final thing is that we become who God wants us to be. And the amazing thing about the Jordan was, and I'm going to close with this, is that they knew their history. The people knew their history. They had sojourned in the desert for 40 years. They knew that they had come out of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground. They knew this. If they did, they had to be the most obstinate person in the whole camp if they didn't know it. Because, I mean, the fact that they were there on that side of the Jordan was proof, right? It was part of who they were. But in order for them to become who God wanted them to be, is he had to give them an experience of his power, right? That's why Joshua said on that night before, he said, consecrate yourselves to the Lord, because he is going to show you amazing things. And that's why when we belong and we believe and we're about to become who God wants us to be, he gives us healing. He gives us miracles. He gives us signs. He gives us things so that we can experience his power, his presence, his provision, so that we know we're not doing this on our own. He's there in the midst of it. He's there in the middle of it. And brothers and sisters, it's important that we never forget that. And so when you go to Memorial Day services tomorrow, wherever you go, or parades or whatever, think about the fact that there was a time. This is why I like studying Winston Churchill, because there was a time when... Oh, thank you. You're so good, Roger. Oh. He knows I sweat. There was a time when people really believed that they were going to be speaking German in England. Right? You know that? There was a time when they figured they better, you know, kind of sharpen up on their Deutsch. Right? And yet, Winston Churchill and others, they knew the power of God. And they preached it. It's amazing how church and state separation really kind of goes out the window when you're faced with ultimate, you know, defeat. And it's just amazing to me, the history of those people who were willing to stand up and say, remember, remember, we have a God who is able. We have a God who has done mighty things and will do mighty things again. We have a God who's here in the midst of things with us. We're not alone. We belong. And we believe what we teach. We believe what we read. We believe what he's done. And we want to become those people who take the step of faith. Wouldn't it have been a travesty if they got to the Jordan, they looked at the high water and said, I ain't putting my foot in there. Yet how many of us as Christians, we know we belong, we believe because we've said the creed, you know, how many times, and we've, you know, stood up here at confirmation and said this is what we believe. But when God really wants us to become, it's when he says, now put your foot in. Take a step. And how many of us go, Nah, these are new shoes. I don't want to get them wet. It's time to become. It's time to be the people God wants to be. It's time to take the step so we can see his power and we can see him do mighty things. Let's stand as we're going to confess our faith in the words of the Athanasian Creed. And as we're doing this, please think about the fact that this is a creed that is long, but it has so much in it. And the reason we do it is to honor the fact that there were people who really struggled through this because there was heresy in the church. And there's words in here that, you know, I wish I had time, but I don't this time, but we'll study over the years, that, you know, have lost their meaning because of language. But I think that it's important to understand that what we're doing here is we're confessing something that's the truth so that we know what we believe, so we can articulate this to people who need to become the people that God wants them to be so that they can take the step and see the dry and go over on dry ground. So it's up on the screen or in your announcement bulletin. Whoever we will be saved shall above all else hold the Catholic faith. Faith except everyone keeps whole and undefiled. Without doubt, he will perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship three persons in one God, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, another of the Holy Spirit. Godhead of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal. There are not three eternals, but one eternal. There are not three uncreated, there are three incomprehensibles, one uncreated, one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. Yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord. Yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Not held by the Christian truth, acknowledge each person by himself, both God and Lord. So we are not by the Catholic faith, three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one God, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal together, so that in all things, as is aforesaid, unity in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved is compelled thus to think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The right faith is that we believe and confess our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father touching his man, who although he is God and man, yet he is not two but one Christ, not by conversion, taking the manhood into God. suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all men will rise again with their bodies and will give account of their own works. They that have done good will go into life everlasting, and they have done evil into everlasting fire. Faith. Made it through. Amen. May we believe, teach, and confess the truth of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, we continue our service by, let's share the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please turn to I would ask that we be seated for a moment, and those who have served in the military